about this fourth dominion of the Spirit. I told you that I'd answer him this morning.
Yes, you
did. And so that means it's not a detour. It's the same thing. We've been talking over in the fifth chapter of the book of Joshua about the Passover of conquest. And you go down into the sixth chapter, Jericho was strictly shut up. Nobody going in and out, you know. And then you come down where God told him to march around the walls of Jericho six times, one time a day, then seven times, and then seven feasts, a priest with seven trumpets of ram horn. And, you know, I wish people could get up to date with what God's doing. I've been in some of these kingdom churches, and they start their service off by blowing a ram's horn. And I always laugh, because they're a few thousand years behind. They haven't read the 10th chapter of Numbers, where God switched and used the silver trumpet. And he made two silver trumpets. And one of them was fulfilled when Jesus was born. And the other is going to blow whenever he comes again. I'm talking about physical coming. He's here now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's been many appearances of the Lord. Well, glory. Now, I'm not saying he's physically going to come, but not until you get up off of your lazy behind and do what he said. Now, is that plain enough? There's no room in the kingdom for lazy people. Well, praise the Lord. The whole entire world needs to hear the kingdom message. I'm sick of missionaries going over to the foreign field and trying to make Westerns out of the natives and learn them how to take aspirins and drink Coca-Colas. And you think I'm kidding? That's exactly what a lot of missionaries are doing. But thank God there's a kingdom generation rising up that's going to bring about of the glory of the kingdom of God. Now, I was just talking to see if I needed a second blessing. Hallelujah. $73 and we'd have as much for missions as we've got.
$373.
Huh? Oh, three.
Can't read my writing here. $373.
Oh, you got it up here. $373. Oh, glory to God. Should we get $373?
You see, we've got 100 of that, all right?
Well, we don't like but $273. Hallelujah. Just speak up or tell me to shut up and we'll. Huh? Hallelujah. What can you do?
Huh? Fred said, go ahead and teach. Go ahead and teach now.
I'll tell you. Now, isn't God beautiful? Come on, isn't God beautiful? Oh, hallelujah. You know, somebody said, I don't like that bagging money. And who's bagging?
You just asked.
Who's bagging? I'm just telling you what we need. And I wait for our glory. We've had conventions that we give. The motel had to build with $10,000. And I said, we got to have $10,000 for missions. Well, amen. Whatever the meeting costs, we got to give that much to missions. Or else we wouldn't be fulfilling the scripture. And I believe in a fulfillment of the word of God. Well, hallelujah. Since we want to talk about the fourth dimension of the spirit, let me lay a little foundation for you. Four is the world number. You understand that? How many of you understand four is a world number? Hallelujah. Then when we begin to look at the world number four, the Bible tells us in at least three different places in the Word that the whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. The Bible teaches us that the whole earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of God. Now, even in the second verse of your Bible, Genesis 1 and 2, that the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. Now, if you understand spiritual meaning of that, is simply this. The Spirit of the Lord moved. Now the original said it brooded over the face of the deep. All right. What face did he see in the deep? He's talking about the waters now. Water, if you want to know anything about the Spirit, you study water. Hallelujah. And when you begin to study the water, you're studying about the movement of the Spirit. The face of the deep. He saw your face and my face. Hallelujah. Because he called our name before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 and 4 tells you that. You're no accident.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has already called your name, predestined you. And then we'll come over to the book of Psalms and in the 46th Psalm. And let me see which verse it is. It says,
there is a river. Verse 4.
So it ties up with the world number. In verse 4, there is a river. Everybody say, there is a river. Isn't it strange that everybody don't know there's a river? This particular river makes glad.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Can I break some of these words down and break it down for you so you can understand what he's talking about? There is a river that makes glad the city. Now, somebody said, what is a city? The Bible said Abraham looked for a city. Hello. The city is the church. And there's a river that makes glad the church.
Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. Who's reading with me? I didn't turn over there to this scripture, but I'm...
There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God.
Now, is there an S on that streams?
Yeah.
Well, there's just one Spirit. Yep. And many aspects of that one Spirit. Hallelujah. God gave the fullness of the Spirit to His Son. You don't have the fullness yet. Hello? You don't have the fullness of it yet. Some of you have enough to feel goosebumps. Some of you have enough to speak in other tongues. And some of you have enough to even dance a little. But you don't have the fullness of it. Streams thereof make glad the city of God,
the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
Well, he is simply telling you that the streams, different aspects of the Spirit, makes glad the church. Then he moves on to a tabernacle, and he uses the term Most High. Hallelujah. Now, I don't have the time to break down the names of God. There's 9 definitions of Jehovah, and then there is the El names of God. Hallelujah. El Elyon, El Elyon, El Shaddai. Oh, hallelujah. And you need to know these names. I'll just take one of them here. El Shaddai means the full-breasted one. It's the phenomenon type of God, the one that satisfies your needs. And you read in the 91st Psalm, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And then he said, well, somebody turn and read the first verse of the 91st Psalm, because there's a secret here that I want to, and some of you traditional folks, if you get embarrassed, see, you can leave now. Some folks, you know, get embarrassed if you preach on the Song of Solomon, where it explains the body. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Now, you hear what he said? He that abideth in the what? There's a secret place with God. But he's between the Most High and El Shaddai. Some people, you know, they don't even know what seeing him face to face means. You'll never have a conception unless you're face to face. Somebody say amen. The church doesn't know the Lord face to face yet. But there is a number of people that is in that secret place in between and the next verse. If you're in that secret place in between, oh, hallelujah. What's the next verse?
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress.
See, when you get in between there, the Lord is my refuge. You go out of the fighting business, and He fights your battle for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Get off of that. I can't go into that. There's a river. Oh, praise God. 47th chapter of Ezekiel. Now, if I'm jumping too much for you, well, just catch on. I tell them, when you come to our church, you're going to learn where the books of the Bible are first, because we go from one to the other. 47th chapter of Ezekiel.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would you let me explain about Ezekiel just for a moment? He studied 30 years to be a priest. You couldn't be a priest until you was 30. And the very day he become 30, he was going to graduate and become a priest. God said, I'm changing your ministry. You're going to be a prophet. He didn't know nothing about being a prophet. Woo! Ain't that beautiful? That's the way God does. He'll change your ministry. You don't know what you're going to do. And we're in that era right now, God changing ministry.
Amen.
And you see it, but they don't understand it. Well, and then Ezekiel, he said, he sat where they sat. Not many preachers want to sit where with you in captivity. Amen. But he said, I sat where you sat. And everybody was hanging their harps on the willow tree. And they said, we can't sing. And old Ezekiel said, and where they sat in the midst of captivity, said, I see visions of God. Somebody's seeing God while the other folk can't even sing a song. Well, glory to God. Now, why did he be able to see visions of God when everybody else couldn't even sing?
Amen.
Amen. I know. The fundamental church has said Ezekiel's explaining the temple they're going to build over. He ain't explaining no temple they're going to build. You're the temple.
That's right.
You're the temple. And that's what he's working on.
Amen.
And he's working on you to bring you into the fourth dimension of the Spirit. Most Pentecostals stop at the third when they get baptism. But there's something beyond that. Oh, hallelujah. You haven't ever read Acts 1 and 8. Have you? Well, have you forgot it? What does it say?
But ye shall receive power.
And ye shall receive what?
Power.
Oh, it didn't say after, did it? It said with it. No. Woo! Glory to God. I'm going to shout by myself. And ye shall receive power when?
After that, the Holy Ghost.
After the Holy Ghost. See, you got the Holy Ghost, talked in tongues and jumped up and been dancing with goosebumps ever since. And don't have enough power to pull a setting hen off of the nest. Now, I might get a little rough here this morning. I don't know.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Oh, glory to God. You might as well get used to what God's doing. This thing of somebody entertaining you, you sitting in the audience, and somebody else is just up here preaching. That, brother, that's going to change. Every one of you come into this building, you have a song, you have a tongue, you have a... Oh, hallelujah. And if you don't obey God, you're quenching the Spirit, and that's a sin against the Spirit. And you're so interested, you're afraid you'll sin in the flesh. Forget about sin in the flesh. It's sinning against the Spirit that you better be interested in. Well... I wonder if I can get by the first word in this 47th chapter.
Afterwards.
I don't know what I can get by that or not. Come on. Afterward. Now, what are we talking about afterward? You just read it in Acts 1 and 8. So what comes after? After you receive the Holy Ghost, what comes next? Power? Okay, Then Ezekiel takes up that. He said, after. Oh, hallelujah. But now, oh, praise God. I done see I'm not going to get too far in this. All right. Afterward, how many of you understand that you have to be facing the right direction?
Amen.
Huh? Afterward what?
He brought me again into the...
Oh, you had nothing to do with it. He brought you. Hallelujah. He brought you where?
Again into the door of the house.
Why did he say door of the house? Hallelujah. Then he said something else.
And behold, waters issued out.
Hallelujah. Waters issued out from where?
From under the threshold of the house eastward.
Now, that's the right direction. Somebody said, well, what's it say eastward for? Where does the sun rise? East. What does it mean? Beginning of a new day. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. You and I are in the beginning of a new day. It's either you could call it the seventh day from Adam or the third day from Christ. Hallelujah. But it's a new day. And nobody can live into tomorrow. Hello. You've been living in the past. When you should be traveling eastward.
Amen.
What keeps me living in the past? Your mindset. You can't change. Get out of it. Well, glory to God. Some of you got a mindset. Oh, hallelujah. On what grandma taught. Her granddad taught. I'm not belittling them. My mama was a preacher. Mama was a Pentecostal holiness preacher, but she didn't know nothing about what I'm talking about. In fact, she didn't know nothing about the gifts whenever I first got in this. We use the word gifts because everybody thinks that's what it is. It ain't talking about gifts. It's talking about manifestation of the Spirit. You get your mind off of gifts and get it on the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And receiving that power after the baptism. And we'll show the world. We'll make the world set up and take knowledge, hallelujah, that there's a new generation in the world. And we're not after the old methods and the old way of doing things. We practice that in this assembly. We tell everybody that comes in them doors, we don't have no need. We're not need-oriented. Oh, we want to bless folk. Hallelujah. I've even taken up an offering sometime. I tell them, if you need some, just get some out. What do we care? Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh.
Amen.
How far in that verse have we got?
Not very far. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east.
And okay. The forefront. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know this bores some of you. But neighbor, unless you get this thing broke down, you ain't going to understand what he's talking about. You've got to know. Oh, hallelujah. I've told the elders of this assembly, And you know, all of us want to influence, have, let you know we know something. But it ain't what you know, it's getting all the juice out of every verse. If you don't get the one verse, who cares? As long as you get the juice out of it. We get all the juice out of our arms, you throw the thing away. Let's milk this thing till we get it dry. And you will never do that. The Holy Spirit is the author of it. You have the author of the book living in you. The forefront of the house. Praise God. People usually beautify what part of the house? Front? Full front. What's God interested in showing off? Full front. Hallelujah. And he don't care about you coming in because the door's open. Never a locked door. And the forefront of this house faced it eastward. Towards a new day. Something new always coming up. Hallelujah. And if you ever get in the house, you can't go no other way but eastward. Well, why in the name of God is the church 2,000 years behind? They bogged down somewhere in the 18th century. Preaching the 18th century doctrine, trying to convert a 21st century generation.
That's right.
It won't work.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the holiness churches are the worst ones in the world for that. Preacher will get up and tell you, now you got to dress right. You got to eat right, drink right. Hallelujah. Come on. When the book says very plainly, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Hallelujah. 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 It's not what you eat or what you drink or what you wear. It's that new day, that sun's rising. The river's beginning to flow. Praise God. Some of you haven't even learned yet how to get away from your problems. I know what you're praying. God, move the problem. God ain't going to move the problem. He got that problem, so you'll move. I got to shout. How are you going to get rid of your problem? There's a mountain there. God, move the mountain. Let's get in the river. And the first thing you know, the mountain's getting way back on. And you going down the river. The problem moves, but it's still there. He just moves you beyond it. Great God. Somebody said, what's the banks of the river? The Old and New Testament. Just go around to the tree. Great God, hallelujah. And you'll find that your problems are... Now you can't get this in... Oh God, I better not get into that right now.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to cover it. But neighbor, we're in for something. How many of you ready to go into the fourth dimension? Come on. You mean you're ready to leave tongues, goosebumps?
Come on.
Huh? and come on in to just getting all the provisions. He loadeth me down daily with what? All his benefits, not fits. Some of you are loaded down with fits. Oh, glory to God. I don't want to get into that. You can hear them. You know, brother, I won't call his name, but an old pioneer preacher friend of mine, preaching in my church, he said, me and my wife ain't never had a fuss. And he come home, I said, Oscar, you lied. She said, you and your wife ain't never had a fuss. Well, sometimes you hear us reasoning together two blocks down the street. He didn't call it fussing, reasoning together. But do you understand the house is facing eastward?
Yes.
Huh? Do you understand water's coming out from under the threshold? And which way is it flowing?
Eastward.
Everything's bringing you into a new dimension in God. I want you to get that in your spirit. Everything that God does for you, bringing you into a new dimension in God. All right, if you're in a new dimension, what happens to the one that you was in? You leave it. And what are you going to do? Honestly, you'll never learn how to grow in God till you can come into a new dimension. Well, I don't know how to act. Yeah, I know that. That's the reason he brought you there. Well, I don't know what to do. I know. You don't learn it in the book. But you learn to lean heavily on him. You trust him. Oh, hallelujah. And you're creating a fear. A fear of God. An awesomeness of God. Woo, hallelujah. My God, I can't help but shout. And when that awesomeness of God is created in you, the Bible said, the man that fears God shall have no want. You didn't hear that, did you? The man that fears God shall have no want. Oh, you said, well, I have this one. I have well, fear God and get rid of it.
That's exactly right.
All right, you see, why don't you fear God? You're in a dimension of God that you're used to.
That's it. Amen.
And you don't want to move. You don't want to come into what you don't know how to handle.
That's right.
Your comfort zone has robbed you. My Father, if I could get people, and this is what I teach in this assembly, if I can get people to turn loose, amen, of everything. I'm talking about houses, money, everything. Just be in a dimension with God, you don't know what you're going to do.
That's it.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
What verse are we in now? Are we in 2?
Halfway
in.
Not yet.
How many of you can see it's impossible to cover a whole lot of scriptures if you want to explain and let folks know and understand what's going on? But majority of folks don't want you to know.
That's right.
Exactly right.
They want you to keep a pacifier and a bottle in your mouth so they can rule you. I want you to grow up, bless God, so you can release me.
Amen.
Let me go somewhere Amen. And teach somebody else. Well, then you'll relieve me of the responsibility. No, I'm your responsibility. Say amen.
Amen.
Read more, Bob. I've got to hurry if I'm going to get through some.
And the waters came down from the right side of the house.
God Almighty. Woo! Glory to God. What side did the water come out on? The right side. And at my right hand is joy evermore. And some of you look like you've been eating crab apples and sucking lemons and wanting somebody to accept your experience. I'm like the Vietnam soldier that come home out of the war, went into a holy church, and they're testifying about what all the problems they have and the troubles they're going through. One individual went to the soldier and said, "Would you come to the altar?" He said, "I don't go religious. I just come from the war." Somebody shout hallelujah. You're trying to convert the world and make sour pisses out of them. God wants you to come into the presence of the Lord where there is no want. Where there is absolutely, amen, nothing that would hinder you. You're an example to the world. The water come on the right side. And then listen to what he said.
At the south side of the altar.
South side of the altar. Song of Solomon said, "Whoo, come on, north wind." How many of you know what a north wind is? We've experienced some this week. North wind, brother, it kills things. I had some beautiful hanging baskets, and that north wind just killed every one of them. Cold. But then when that north wind blows and kills all of the rich weeds and nothing to live in but evergreens, Song of Solomon said, "Come thyself and blow upon my garden that the spices, the aroma will go out." That's what God is doing in this world. That, my Father, you hear what he said? Back up and read that where the water come out.
Amen. And the waters came down from the south side. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. God. The waters came down from under the right side of the
altar. The right side of the altar. And it came from the south side. In other words, the Spirit of God is coming, amen, from the right side, and it's creating a south wind that's going to blow the aroma, glory to God. Over in Nairobi, Africa, they're out from the coast, there's an island called the Island of Spice. You can stand there on the beach, and the south wind begins to blow. It's such a fragrance, it almost takes your breath. The sweet aroma. That's what God wants to blow over this universe. Not a bunch of do's and don'ts. He wants the sweet aromas of God to blow over you so that you'll know, amen, that you're moving in a realm of the Spirit. You're getting out of the old curse realm, out of the curse of Adam, out of the under the curse. Oh, hallelujah, that's covered the whole earth. You're living in a brand new era, a brand new realm, a brand new revelation of God. And it's just, this is just starting. We haven't got to that fourth dimension yet. Good God, I can stop right now and shout the rest of the day. I'm honest with you. You're just like that scientist that I sat down with on the airplane. I just sat down with him flying from Tampa, Florida to Dallas and Fort Worth area. And I no more than got sat down. He said, you know, I used to believe the Bible. I thought, my God, what kind of a nut am I sitting beside? But he said, I went to the university for 8 years and studying science. And said, I just turned against the Bible. And after a while, he said, by the way, what do you do? I said, well, I'm an advocate of that book you throwed away. Oh, he said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. I said, brother, you ain't gonna offend me. You telling me how stupid you are. I got his attention. He said, what? I said, if you hadn't have thrown that book away, you wouldn't have had to win 8 years to college. What do you mean? I reached in my briefcase and pulled out the book. And I said, what's the five basic elements of all scientific study? Oh, he said, it's force. It's time. It's space. It's matter and motion. Oh, I said, brother, look here. In the beginning, that's time. His eyes got big. He said, let me see that. I said, right here. I said, in the beginning, that's time. Yeah. God, that's force. Created the heavens, that's space. And the earth, that's matter. Verse 2 said, and spirit moved. I said, that's motion. What did you throw that book away for? Oh, he said, I didn't know it was in there. I said, you throwed it away too soon. You should at least read the first two verses. I'm telling you right now, that book has all the answers. Harvard University come out with a study and said anybody that has a knowledge of the Bible has an equivalent to a 4-year college degree. And then these ding-a-lings wants to boast about their bishops, the doctors. Hello? And they turned the collar around backwards. And the only reason they done that was they were so poor in the early church they couldn't afford to buy a shirt with a collar on it.
Amen.
Hello. Okay, glad to get off of that. Hallelujah. Are you taking notes? You ought to, don't miss what I'm talking about by taking notes. Get the tape. You can get all these tapes for $50. You know I'm kidding. You get all this tape for nothing.
Amen.
Kingdom people don't charge for nothing. Hello? I'm sick and tired of churches saying, we represent Jesus, and charge you for every darn thing they put out. Something is wrong somewhere. I said something wrong. They're interested in money. Filthy lucre. Well, it takes money to live. Don't you think God knew that when he sent Peter to Ephesians? That's a whole lot of work, ain't it? And he changed his style. He said Peter was a commercial fisherman. He fished with nets. And God knowed if he went with a net, he wouldn't pull it up because it'd be so much gold in it. So he said, take a hook. And then he said, the first fish opened his mouth. That fisherman that lost that coin didn't know what he was doing. He already shouted because he lost it. Because eventually he's going to pay Jesus and Peter's taxes. All right, let's go on.
Then he brought me out of the way of the north of the gate northward.
Oh, wait a minute. Hallelujah. He brought me out. Everybody say out.
Out.
Of the way.
Of the way.
Of the north gate.
Of the north gate.
Thank God.
My God, my God. That north wind that kills and tempts and tries you. He's fixing to bring you out of that. God give us a word here Sunday night. Well, after Easter, look for the supernatural. He's going to bring you out of your prison of indebtedness, your prison of afflictions. Oh, hallelujah. You see, I believe that. And this week I have saw God begin to work in the supernatural. Amen. Me and Bob saw it Monday.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God, neighbor. Somebody says, all I've known is trials and heartaches. And he's bringing you out of that north wind position.
Amen. Hallelujah.
How many of you hear what I'm saying? How many of you accept your deliverance from the north?
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
How do you accept it?
Yes, Lord.
We're in the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, hon. All right.
Read verse 2.
And led me about the way without unto the other gate by the way that looketh eastward.
See, he's bringing you from that north traditional bondage and beat down position to another gate.
Hallelujah. Yes, he is.
You ain't hearing me.
I am. Hallelujah.
How many of you are hearing me?
Yes,
he's bringing you from that north, persecution, trial, and all of that to another gate. And this gate, looking eastward.
Amen.
A new day.
Yes.
A new day. Everybody say a new day.
A new day.
Woo! Okay. Somebody said, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, you could say it another way. Let's say it another way. He brought me to a new beginning.
Amen.
The old beginning's gone. I'm now looking at a new beginning.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father, how in the world are you sitting there so quiet? He brought us into a new beginning. Some of them said, oh, my life is just about spent. Well, what's past is spent. But I've got a new beginning. I got, woo, glory.
Amen.
I'm looking. Do you want me just to pass over all these thoughts and go on into this meat, or you want me to keep on explaining it as we go down? Huh? I don't think I can finish it by tomorrow morning.
24 hours in a day.
I'm telling you, I'm a feeling the anointing just flowing and flowing and flowing. Hallelujah, and the tears is rolling. I love the Word.
Amen.
It's my life.
Amen.
It's my life.
Thank
you. Brought me to another gate. A new beginning. Oh, glory. Somebody else steps in. Let's read. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
And behold, there ran out waters from the right side.
Yeah. At this new gate, waters are still flowing. Okay.
And when the man that had
here's somebody new come into the picture now. Oh, hallelujah. Say, some youth come into the scene. But you see, he didn't do that until he brought you to another gate. Why, you want to camp around that old persecution north gate where the winds are blowing and killing everything. You ain't gonna never come in, amen, to be introduced to the man with the measuring line.
Hallelujah.
And some of you think, well, that's the way I'm supposed to live, just beat down and always in need. And you live that way if you want to. I'm not going to. You want to follow me? I'm headed for a better way.
Amen. Amen, yes.
What about it, brother?
Amen.
We're headed for a better way.
Amen. Amen.
God Almighty. What about it, Joe?
Amen,
brother. We're headed for another, a better way.
Every minute.
Amen.
Every minute.
Is that right, Greg?
Yes, sir. Amen.
We're headed, oh glory.
Amen.
When he brings you to another gate.
Amen.
Or to a new way of living.
Hallelujah.
He sends a man along with a measuring line. And you're the one that's going to determine how much he measures. Oh my God, hallelujah. Why you, alright, he measured what?
Had the line in his hand, went forth eastward. He
measured. He don't go backwards now. He don't go northward. He don't go south. He don't, oh hallelujah, westward. He goes eastward. Every time he moves, he's moving towards something new. I don't have time to explain to you the camp of Israel, or the Israelites. You need to know all these things, because some folks, they think, well, the Old Testament ain't for me. That's the reason you're where you're at. You don't know the promises. And he made the promises to the fathers. Acts 13 tells you that. Well, who was the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What's that got to do with me? Everything. He said, I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. What did he mean when he said it? When he said, I'm the God of Abraham, he said, I'm the God of promise. When he said, I'm the God of Isaac, he's the God of miracles. Because Isaac wasn't born by the will of the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. You want miracles, but you don't want to know the Old Testament. You ain't getting them. Well, what about Jacob? He's the God of transformation. You should understand that you've been changed. You're justified just as if you never had sin.
That's right. That's right.
13th chapter of the book of Acts says that he has given the promises unto our fathers. Well, glory to God.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
That's
right. Praise God.
I'm telling you. Moses, you know. I ain't getting into that. Reasonable.
He measured 1,000 cubits.
Oh my God. He measured 1,000 cubits. And he got into it and he said the waters was what?
And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles.
Hallelujah. Now he brought, now let me hear you. Hallelujah. This ain't no way. Somebody said, what do you mean ankle deep water? Well, that's where the tadpoles are.
Amen.
Do you know what a tadpole is? Let me see your hand if you know what a tadpole is. Huh?
Amen.
And after a while, it loses its tail. And becomes a what? A frog. I know all you know about a frog is over in Revelation. The false prophet opened his mouth. Frogs come out. But you do you have time for me to explain what? You see, the false prophet, the dragon, and the Antichrist, and whatever you want to call them, said they opened the mouth. Out of the mouth came three unclean frogs. Well, inasmuch as he said out of their mouth, what comes out of your mouth? Words.
That's right.
Words. And you, how many of you know where the war is? It's against the Word of God. And so out of these false prophets, frogs are coming out of their mouth. Words against the anointing. Hello? And frogs only come from ankle-deep water. And they are made from tadpoles. Now, oh, hallelujah. I'm going to break down some of these things for you if you stay with me a little bit. Frogs go down in under the mud. And they've got two sets of eyes, just like a lot of you Christians. Jesus said you have to have a single lens of eye. Hello? And these frogs have two sets of eyes. When they go down under in the mud, their lower eyes open. And all they can see is mud. This is like Christians. Then when you come up out of the water, the upper eyes open. Hello? My Father. I know, and this is boring, I guess, to some of you. But I have to go into these things because majority of Christians is in ankle-deep water and they don't want nothing else. Just to splash around. Brother said last night, you know, sprinkle you. But we believe in baptism. Well, we're just in the first dimension. But thank God we are in water. Can you say amen? Thank God you're in water. Some folk don't want no better. Then sit down here, you read the same scripture. 12 months at a time. Wasn't that great? I'm interested in knowing the Word. Amen. I ain't interested in the crowd.
Amen. That's right.
Crowds don't interest me.
Amen.
Well, you'll never be a hallowed church full. Okay, I'll have what God wants me to have.
Amen.
You hear what I'm telling you?
Amen.
Get with it.
Amen.
Quit trying to convert the world. Deal with your own perfection.
That's it. That's
get growed up your own self. All right, read some more.
Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters.
Now, these thousands are representative. Praise God. The first 1,000 was Abraham's area.
Was what?
Abraham's era. The second 1,000 is Moses' era. Oh, glory to God. And Moses had an ecstasy in his ministry. He brought all the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage, hallelujah, out of slavery. But he didn't get the slavery mentality out of them. And neither are you free from it yet. I'm telling you something this morning, if you'll let it get down in your spirit, you will never, never in your whole entire eternity will allow the devil to enslave you again.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you don't have to be enslaved. Now you want to make bricks for Pharaoh, go ahead. He'll take the straw away from you. You have to get the straw and make the bricks and all by your own self. I'm not going to do it. If I make a brick, it's going to be to throw at the devil. I guarantee you he's not going to have no peace around me. He don't like me and I don't like him. Folks say, well, I don't like my cousin. Well, you must be kin to the devil. He don't like me either. Is that all right, Brother Ray?
Right.
I have a little fun with this. Go ahead.
The waters were to the knees.
The second thousand, the water was to the knees. Now, you're getting into water. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I'm going to have to let up a little bit on this explaining everything. But I'll explain it enough that you can do some more research on it. Amen. And in the second thousand, water was up to the knees. Now the man ain't through measuring yet. Now where does he go the next time? Another thousand.
Again he measured a thousand and brought me through the waters were to the loins.
Oh, hallelujah. In that third dimension, the water was up to the loins. Now, if you want to really understand what he's talking about here, go and do some research on the third dimension in history. Come on. And you'll find, oh, hallelujah. The church made the greatest blunder it ever made in its life and ain't got over it yet in AD 300. And in AD 300, Constantine made the nation a Christian nation. Now what did he do? He took away the evangelists. Didn't need none. All of them was Christians. Hello? So all they needed was a pastor. And how many of you know today the church only accepts pastors and evangelists?
That's right.
Hello?
Amen.
They don't know what apostle or prophet is.
Amen.
They don't even know how to teach it. They think it's a Sunday school teacher. D.L. Moody instituted that Sunday school business. Hello.
Amen.
Oh, Brother McClure, you're against everything. No, I'm not. I'm just simply, I happen to be an individual that wants to study to know what's going on in my day.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, and if it hurts your feelings, then get over it. I had a lady call me week before last, before Easter Sunday. I want to come to your church. Do you have a nursery? I said, we have a nursery. Do you have somebody to tend to the nursery? I said, no, that's your responsibility. You got children, tend to them. Well, where did they go during the church? I said, they sat in the auditorium. To make too much noise, you take them out. But they ain't going to make more noise than I am. If they do, I'll let them do the preaching. Praise God. All of this sissy bunch of people will net. And how many churches, how many of you was raised in a church with a nursery? Raise your hand. One, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, they didn't even know what a nursery was when I was coming up. I know what a belt was. Hello? Dave, there was three of us boys. Mama was a preacher. My daddy would line us up on the pew, and there we sat. What if you had to go to the bathroom? You went before you sat down. I'm talking about... How many of you understand what I'm saying? Well, what if you wanted to talk? You know what you get. Warm your seat up. We didn't move. I remember when Demi was just a little baby sucking a bottle. We laid him on the front pew. He knew he had to stay there. And if I come down by that front pew preaching, he'd pull that bottle out and said, "Amen, Daddy." That's true. That's the truth. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you think we should train children up like that now? Huh? Come on. I think everybody we ought to train children up like that now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And even now, his son, little David, he said, "Amen, Papa." I like that. I like that. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm expecting, of course, I ain't around my great-grandchildren much, but I'd love to hear them say, "Amen, Papa." Hallelujah. Great-grandchildren. And I want to hear the great-great-grandchildren say, "Amen, Papa." You ain't going to be around that. Oh, honey, you don't know how long I'm going to be around.
Amen.
I'm making no plans to leave here.
Amen.
Somebody said, "I'm going to catch the first train." Catch all the trains you want to catch.
Amen.
One brother said, "We're fixing to leave here." I said, "Where are you going?" "Oh, you know where we're going." I said, "No, I don't. Where are you going?" "I'm expecting to be raptured out of here." I said, "If you do, you'll be like David, wind up in the wilderness." My Bible said the righteous shall never be removed from the earth. So all I have to do is just stay righteous. Well, how are you going to do that? I can't. I just let him be my righteousness. Come on, say, shout hallelujah. You can't make it. You can't be righteous. You have to let him be your righteousness. He paid my debt.
Yes, sir. He paid the whole
thing. Woo! Hallelujah.
I let him pay the bill.
He paid it in full. Baptist church don't believe that. They don't believe that. No. No, you got to go to confession. Got to come to the altar again. Somebody say,
"Amen." Hey,
don't it seem like I'm preaching to me? I know what I'm talking about.
Praise the Lord.
All right, let's go into another one.
Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not.
It's the fourth dimension. And now it's become a river that no man can cross.
Amen.
And it's swimming water.
Amen.
Now here's where God is bringing us into this, into the third day ministry. It's not just 2001. 2001 is just the beginning of the third day. And some of you don't even know, you see. Praise God. But you see, you start this measuring in the 102nd Psalm. And by 2002, great God, He's going to remember Zion as you have never saw it before.
Hallelujah.
He's going to build up Zion. He's doing it, bringing us into this fourth dimension where it's only swimming water. You can't even touch bottom. If you wanted to stir up mud, you couldn't.
That's right.
Now, somebody said, well, that's what I want to do. Talk about it, buddy. You have to stay over there in that third dimension. Pentecostal dimension, where they love to talk about folks.
Amen.
Love to find all the fault in you.
That's right.
That they can find. And they become Sherlock Holmes. They ought to join the FBI instead of the church. Investigate them. How many times I sat on the board and somebody was in need, and I'd bring it to the board and they said, we have to investigate. I said, good God Almighty, they'd starve to death before you get to investigate them. Let's feed them. Since when do you have to know all the details?
That's right.
Amen. Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Raise your hands and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I think you ought to raise both hands. Let glory run down both
hallelujah,
arms. I want you to say, no man can cross it.
No man can cross it.
We're talking about the fourth dimension. Good God, you'd be fortunate if you can just stay up. Okay. Let's go into this fourth dimension.
Amen. For the waters were risen.
Oh, my God, you don't want to hear this, do you?
Yeah.
For the water has what?
Risen.
Risen? Risen? What does that mean? What does risen mean? It's getting higher. They told me when I first started preaching, teenager, he'll cool off at a while. That's what he said. You cool over there. And I'm telling you the truth. It's getting worse every day.
Amen.
It's getting higher every day.
Amen.
The glory is rising.
Hallelujah.
The glory of God is rising.
Amen.
That means it's getting higher.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah.
Amen.
I said, hallelujah. Amen. It's getting higher. And higher! And higher! Woo! And I'm having a ball. And it's just started. I said it's just started. Joe, it's just starting. You better know it. Hallelujah. This couple, Greg and Abigail, has been such a refreshing breath of fresh air to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because let me tell you something. You swim out there in this swimming water, you're alone. And sometimes you think, God, is there anybody else seeing what you see? And then bang, here come a couple that I've had beautiful fellowship with, and we are in this deep water together. Some of you, we in this water together.
Hallelujah.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
We're not going the old traditional route.
Amen.
I could care less about it.
Hallelujah.
I could care less about it.
Amen.
Thank you,
You know anything about what? Listen, how many of you have taken a swim, hallelujah, you know, on a hot day and get out of that pool refreshed? Refreshed.
Hallelujah.
There ain't nothing like it. Well, read a little more with me.
Waters to swim in.
Oh, glory. Waters to swim in. You know what? Majority of the church are afraid of deep water. Huh? I say they're afraid of deep water. Hallelujah. But this is a bottomless pool. They say they got one up in Lake Lure, but I know about this one. I don't know about that one.
Amen.
This is a bottomless pool.
Amen.
And it's swimming water. Read more.
A river that could not be passed over.
Don't worry about getting ahead of the Spirit. Good God. You do good to keep up with Him.
That's the truth.
How many times have you heard pastors say, now, don't move ahead of the Spirit? Good Lord! Keep up with it, saints. Oh, hallelujah! I'll guarantee you, you have something for the church if you just keep up with it.
Amen.
My Father.
Hallelujah.
All right, Bob, read some.
And He said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then He brought me and caused me.
Now, just a minute. He said, Son of man, and you saw this? How many of you have saw what I've talked about?
Amen.
Come on. How many of you are seeing what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Come on, don't raise your hand. Raise that hand high.
Amen.
Amen. And let me know you're seeing what I'm talking about. It's a fresh visitation. It's a moving of the Spirit. It has not been yet. But we see it. We see it. See it. Oh, hallelujah. The enemy would love to blindfold you to this fourth dimension.
That's right.
But He can't do it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Son of man, have you saw it?
Hallelujah.
Have you saw it? If you have sought, go in for it.
Amen.
And seek it with all your heart and with all your being.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but nothing else in this universe will satisfy me but coming into the fullness of the glory of God. And get in the glory of God enough that I can share it with somebody else and bring them their despair and their negativism and old traditional doctrine and let them walk in the liberty of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Not knowing any boundaries, not knowing any. Oh, hallelujah. That's the greatest thrill of life. And we get this, and life more abundantly with it. Now, I tell you right now, Brother Blake, that makes me shout. I can't help but shout. Oh, hallelujah. Well, when I get into swimming water, what's He going to do? He's going to bring you. He brought me. He brought me. He brought me. I had nothing to do with it. He brought me. Oh, I know some of you don't believe in predestination, or you don't believe it. But when you get in this water, you've got no control of yourself. He's going to bring you. He brought me.
Thank you, Lord.
You couldn't keep out of it if you wanted to. You couldn't keep out of it if you wanted to.
Amen.
Oh, where did He bring us to there?
And he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river.
And when I got back to where I started, woo, hallelujah, something happened.
Now.
Underline that little word. When you get back to where you say, now. Not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Now. I want everybody to say now.
Now.
What time is that?
Right now.
Now. Now. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you are living in the now, or are you living in tomorrow?
Or yesterday.
Or yesterday. All of the good experiences you have had, they are past. But you have tasted something better.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he's brought you that now.
Hallelujah.
Right now.
Yes, right now.
Thank you.
When I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side, on the one side, and on the other.
One translation names those trees. And they name them palm trees. Hallelujah. A palm tree. Oh, you can't get this until you come into an experience of the cross.
That's it.
I'll have to explain what I'm talking about. 15th chapter of Exodus. The church was shouting, brother. For the first 3 days they shouted because they come across the Red Sea. And by the time they hit the third day, they begin to grumble. And how many of you know we're approaching now third day experience, and how many people are grumbling?
God have mercy all over the place.
How many is grumbling? How many is finding fault? How many of you is accusing one another? And they came to the waters of Marar, which was bitter waters. That's the reason you're grumbling. We can't drink of this water. It's bitter. God said to Moses, cut down a tree. Put it in the water. That's such a teaching. I could teach 3 or 4 months on it, but I just pass it. Moses cut down the tree and put it in the water. The waters become sweet. You will never move any higher till you become sweet in your spirit. You will never move in God any farther as long as you're finding fault and complaining and grumbling. It has to be sweet. Then the Bible says they journeyed from Marara, bitter water that's darn sweet, came down to Elam. And Elam had 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees. Now listen, I done this deliberately because I wanted you to get the picture that when you come back to the brink, you're on the bank, each bank is palm trees. Which means your experience has been sweetened.
My Lord.
Yes.
See? Oh, hallelujah. And you've come to 12 springs of living water. That's a spring forevermore. And in Elam, there's 70 palm trees. A palm tree for every year God promised you, that's 70 years. Then you can get a 15-year extension. And then when that runs out, get another extension. And there's no end to the extensions.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, saints.
Glory.
This ought to make you shout.
Yeah. Glory. Hallelujah.
And there's 365 usable parts of every palm tree. No wonder David said, "He loadeth me down daily with his benefits." It's every day a fresh benefit. Good God. Not the same old one warmed over. It's a new benefit. I woke up this morning and I said, "Oh, what benefits do you have for me today, Lord? I can't wait to get a hold of them." Come on, hallelujah. When you learn how to live in the Spirit, woo, you won't have to wake up and see. Most folks wake up, "That work all right. That's working on. That's working. That's working." You just jump out of the bed and say, "I'm ready for my benefits, Lord." Well, how many of you are ready for your benefits?
Thank you, Lord.
But how many of you realize what I have just taught you? You can't come into this daily benefits until after you get the fourth dimension. Oh, now you're studying what I just said. But how many of you understand he brought you what? Back. But where have you been? Come on. You have been in the fourth dimension. You have been to where no man can cross.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And then some of you, when you have an experience and you fall back, you say, "Oh God, I thought I was through with this." You've got to understand, you have just fallen back so you could enjoy the benefits of getting out of where you are. Praise God, hallelujah. That's what it's all about. He just gives you an outflow of the Spirit that you can't get over, then he brings you right back to your same problems, but you're looking at them different. You see them different. You don't see them as problems anymore. You don't look at them as, "I've got this hurdle to go over." No. I've got this benefit. I've got this benefit. Oh, praise God. And you'll never ask God anymore to remove your problems. You'll tell him to pile them on you, "Lord, because I've got a bank full of benefits here on both sides. My God. And if I don't have enough in one tree, I'll get another tree." Yeah, what I'm telling you. You remember when hallelujah. I don't want to get, I got to get on this subject to prove what I'm talking about. glory. You remember when they cut off the priest, you know? Some of you cut off your offering ministry. You're on dangerous ground, you do that. You're on dangerous ground. Well, what blessing do I get by giving ministry? Well, I'll show you. The Levites had to go out and go to work. Singers had to go to work. House of God was forsaken. Hezekiah come in. I wish they had time to go into Hezekiah's life, but he was from a disrupted family. And the Lord changed his father. He said, and Hezekiah did good according to all the deeds of his father David. David wasn't his father. God just gave him David as his father. His father was a con artist. And the first thing Hezekiah did was tear the boards off of the temple. I would that God pastors would get converted, tie the boards off of the church, open it up to everybody. Hallelujah, and say everybody's welcome here. I'm thinking about changing the name of the church. I ain't talking with the elders about it. But we don't need Springs of Life. We need Christians meet here. Take the limitation off. Well, what if they ain't Christian? They're welcome to. One lady said, well, do you have a dress code at your church? I said, not that I know of. I don't care how you come. Wear shorts, you want to. I had never heard of that. I said, I haven't either. I just said it. God ain't interested in how you dress or what you eat or what you drink. He's interested, woo, what spirit you have. Get rid of that old holiness atmosphere. You can't do nothing to be holy. Come on. Well, we have to keep trying. You're wearing yourself out. He's my holiness.
Amen.
He's my holiness, and I don't need no more. If he is not enough, I'll go to the judgment like him. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now this don't fit in with traditional holiness. Scripture was I fixing the cover. I forgot where I'm at.
Verse 8. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert.
Oh, brother, you don't mean we're going down into a desert? What do you think he'd give you the rivers for? Yeah. To make the deserts bloom.
Yeah,
that's right. To go into the jungle and make them a garden. That's what Isaiah said. But that ain't what the church wants. Church wants to have a big building. Thousands of people. And they want to keep the tithes and don't want to give nothing to missions.
Right, exactly right.
They want to ride in their Rolls Royce with their collar on backwards.
Yes, come on.
And folks are serving them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I'm preaching the truth.
That's right.
Amen.
They want glory to God. I've saw folk come into the church and two or three following them, and one carrying a briefcase for them. They can't even carry their own briefcase. Bless God, they're so weak. Ah, I hear the sore spot with some of you. I don't need you to carry my briefcase. I don't even carry one myself. Carry a Bible. Glory. Amen.
Amen.
But when you get into the fourth dimension, you go down into the desert. Hello, hallelujah. And you learn how to water where there isn't any water.
Amen.
Yes. Ah, glory to God. I'm going to have to unplug. I hate some of you going to miss tomorrow morning. Whew. Oh, I'll get the tape. Yeah, but it ain't like hearing it firsthand.
That's right.
Now, how many of you want to move into this fourth dimension?
Yes, Lord.
It's a dimension that has not been before.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus is desiring that the church in this day move into that. Well, glory. I'm going to have to let you stand. And...
Hallelujah.
Bye. church. And he began, Shatamahai. Oh, some of you said, well, now my grandfather done this and my great-grandfather. I don't care who done it.
Amen.
We're going to get rid of the tradition.
Glory.
They had carried that old brazen serpent for 715 years just because God said, make a brazen serpent and hold it up. Israel had carried it 715 years just like a bunch of Pentecostals have carried their traditional belief. Because grandma done it.
That's right.
Amen. Hezekiah broke it, bless God, tore it up and said it ain't nothing but another piece of brass. And throwed it away. And told the people to bring their tithes when he cleansed the house of God. Bring your tithes and your offering. And then the king come down to house of God and what they had done. And he walked by. He saw the house of God was kept up. The priest was singing and preaching. And he walked away and said, well, what's this pile? What is this pile? Oh, Hezekiah said, that's what's over, right? We paid tithes and offering. How many of you want your pile? Come on. How many of you want a pile left over? How do you pay your tithes and offering? My God, I got to shout. I tell you the truth. Some of you folks don't know when to shout.
Praise the Lord.
How many of you want your power? How many of you have done what God told you to do? Woo! Who's in control of that power? That's all the world wants to know. Who controls that power? Hezekiah said that's for whoever needs something. For the ministry, if they need extra, they come and get a bucket full. That's what God's doing. God bless this church. You know why? Because they look at a ministry.
Amen.
I go to either one of these elders and tell them I need something. What do you think happened? I get it. I get it. Oh, well, you a bankrupt them. No, I don't take advantage of folks. You hear what I'm telling you? Hallelujah! I don't need nothing. Hello? Hallelujah. That I have impressed thee, ye have always done. And because I have always opened, the overseers don't want you to have it. They don't want you to have it. But God says, I want you to have it. God says, I want you to have it. Well, glory. O house of God, hear ye the word of the Lord this day. For I have not brought you into this place this hour that you should just idle away. But I have brought you into this house this hour that ye may know how to move into a fourth dimension, how to move beyond your need and your want, and how that you can pile up and even have to support others. Oh, hallelujah. And as you do that, I, the Lord, will move mightily upon you. And ye shall be one, whoo, hallelujah, that shall move in life and life more abundantly.
Hallelujah.
I tell you, God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
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 Glory.
I want everybody to say, Lord.
Lord.
I claim what you have promised.
I claim what you have promised.
And I'm going to abide in thy spirit.
And I'm going to
shout hallelujah every time a need arises. And I'm going to create a need so I can shout.
Hallelujah.
I want you to repeat with me now. I shall create a need that I can shout. Great God. Great God. Great God. Great God. Well, hallelujah. Now, this kind of service is when I wish we would just have an afternoon service and we just go on into it. But I'm considering myself. Amen. There ain't but one of me, and I ain't going to wear myself out.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Raise your hands and praise the Lord,
amen.
And we'll go to dinner.